Tremendous amount of wisdom, the book of Job. As Brother Kenny was reading. Verse 32. That which I see not, teach thou me. That which I see not, teach thou me. Fortunately, we have the privilege of seeing behind the scenes in the first part of the book of Job what God was doing. How that Satan had come and asked to tear into Job. And God permitted that. But it was to prove Job's righteousness, not to destroy his life. But the same things are happening in our lives. We just need to be aware that God is working his plan. And it may not seem so glorious at the moment, but he's working out a greater purpose in it. And I say that to introduce our next speaker, which is Ms. Teresa Washington. If you'd come on up, Teresa. Who has asked to share what God has been doing in her life for a little while now. And she's with great desire to share this. So want her to have that opportunity. Oh, yes, we can get a chair.
It was almost a year ago that I came to this church. And now it's been a year of being at home. I've come to know many of you. Can't remember your names because I have serious Alzheimer's sometimes from different medications. But I feel as though I know each and every one of your hearts. This is a home. It's not just a church. It's a house. Instead of telling you how sick I've been, I'm going to tell you how blessed I've been. God granted me humility and unconditional love. I get beat up every day by Wendy because of it. I really do. I thought she was going to blow up Holland's Oncology the other day while I was smiling. I just kept saying, sit down, be quiet, I got it. I've never really paid attention to when doctors tell me. I've actually never let them tell me. But this was the first time because I was looking for an answer different from the one that I got. After I had my surgery, I had an ileostomy. I think I'm saying it right. I can't even remember. I've had so many. But before I had it, the doctor snuck in that I had 6 months to live. Well, 10 years ago, I had 6 months to live.
Amen.
So, after I had this surgery, Dr. Rogers says, you have 12 to 18 months. Live the best life that you can live. So, I've already done that. Now I want to go skiing. Not possible, Teresa. Okay. But I want to speak to my family about unconditional love and humility. Not only that, benevolence. I'm going to read you a text first, and then I'm going to go from there. Oh, come on. Oh, Okay, let's see if I can start from the beginning here. Come on. Okay. Unconditional love is known as affection without any limitations, or love without conditions. This term is sometimes associated with other terms such as altruism or complete love, humbleness. In John 13, 1 through 17, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and they didn't understand it. And it occurred during the Last Supper, right before his crucifixion. The significance in three ways. For Jesus, it was the display of his humility, for his servanthood, and the washing of their feet was a direct contrast of, For us, washing of the feet is symbolic in our role in the body of Christ. The disciples must have been stunned at the act of humility and condescension that Christ, their Lord and Master, should wash their feet. His disciples, when it was their proper work to be washed, to have washed, his. But when Jesus came to earth for the first time, he came not as a king, but he came as a conqueror, not as a king and conqueror, but he came as a suffering servant. Isaiah 53. As he revealed in Matthew 20:28, he came not to be served, but to serve. That's why we're here. That is the only reason that we are here on this earth. Is to serve. To love. To give, to hold, to be held. Look how she's holding that baby in the back. She does it every Sunday. And if she did anything different, I think he'd have a fit. He could probably tell you how to get from one side of his shirt to the other, just by how she holds him. We hold people in our hearts. And sometimes they slip away by the things that they do in this life. But it has no bearing on us. Because when I pass away, it is only I that stands before God to be judged. And the only thing in this life that I fear is him saying, Teresa, why didn't you on October 21st do such and such when you knew you should? If you don't have an answer, he already has it. Amen. He know why you did and he know why you didn't. Amen. The humility expressed by his act with a towel and a basin. Towel in the basin foreshadowed his ultimate act of humility and love on the cross. Washing of another's feet. When the Lord himself stooped to his lowly task, they were stunned in the silence. To his credit, Peter was profoundly uncomfortable with the Lord washing his feet and never being at a loss for words. Peter protested, "You shall never wash my feet." Well, Jesus said something that must have further shocked Peter. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. The washing of the feet is part of benevolence as well. There are people who need us, who look at us every day. You would have no idea. how much they need you. Kind word, a hot meal. There are people that are suffering, and you have no idea that they are. And then sometimes we do. One of the things that bothers me more than anything, no, not more than anything, but that bothers me, you know how you're walking down the street and people are walking by you and they look at you and go, you know, you're about to speak, you know, it doesn't hurt to smile, it doesn't hurt to say hello, it doesn't hurt to say how are you. There are times when my sisters and brothers of this church have called me to say, how are you? Do you need anything? That was priceless. Nothing can compare to that. These were times when they had no idea that I couldn't even get up off the chair. I literally passed away 3 times. In the last month and a half. First time was at the, I went to get a colonoscopy, and they made me drink that liquid. And I had explained to them, talking on the phone, that I couldn't drink it. The young lady explained that I had to. Okay? Well, I did. My colon is completely blocked. Completely. Nothing passes. So, when I drank this, and I got on the table, and they gave me my anesthesia, I started aspirating in my sleep. And it took them 15 minutes to pull me out of my anesthesia. How am I still here? This has been going on, this blockage, since June. I wake up, no, I apologize. I don't sleep at night, do I, Wendy? At all. I'm up all night. I refuse to sleep at night because of throwing up the bile, and I don't want to die by myself. I don't want to wake Wendy to wake up or anybody to wake up and come and find me that way. Not that I can be particular about how I can do it, but there are times when I need a hug and I can't get one. There are times when I need somebody to rub my back because the gas is so bad. There are times when I need somebody to hold my head because I can't stop growing up. And one of the greatest things that happened to me was this doctor that did this colonoscopy. When they brought me out of the anesthesia, he says, the paramedics were there when I woke up. I have mucus running down my face. I'm crying and I'm coughing uncontrollably. And while the paramedics are working on me, this doctor, Dr. Vincent, Adams Oncology, comes around and hugs me. And he says, Teresa, you scared the out of me. Me too. He came to the hospital They sent me to the hospital. He came to the hospital, him and his nurse. Grateful. Well, he wanted them to keep me, and they didn't. They sent me home. The next thing was, I'm at my doctor, and I want to know why he didn't tell them that I couldn't take this. I had just seen him that morning. I further find out that I find out about this blockage in June. They knew in February. I should be a stalk raving mad. Be writing the diary of a mad black woman. But I'm not. God says, seek ye first the kingdom. That's all that matters. You can do any and everything in this world for yourself. You can buy all the TVs you want and all the shoes. Y'all like my shoes? I bought these shoes 10 years ago. I think I've worn them 3 times. You can do anything you want for yourself. But what matters is what you do for others. People are hungry, homeless. I was homeless for a long time, very long time. And I found somewhere to live, and then it got crazy. And then I came to this church, and my brother says, we got you. Thank you. God bless you. For the days that I had no idea what was going to happen, I held on because you said, got you. Even though we never found anywhere, the insight, the heartfelt, the lifelong feeling that somebody cared enough to say, we got you. He didn't say, I got you. He didn't say, they got you. He said, we got you. We have to have each other. You can't do it by yourself. You can't. You can't raise your children by yourself. You can't take care of your parents by yourself. You can't take care of yourself by yourself. I always say, me, myself, and I. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Reach out to other people. This is, as I said, it's a house, it's a home, it's a family. But there are people that, when I came to this church, I was like, oh, wow, okay. I don't know if I'm going to make this one. Y'all was hugging and loving too much. I got here tonight at the bake sale, and people were coming, throwing $50 and $100 and buy this and bid this and bid that. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm bidding. I'd never bidded $50 on a cookie before. I got it. I sat in the refrigerator for 2 weeks before I ate it. I wanted to know what a $50 cookie, what happened to it. You know, how long it lasted. I shared it with my neighbors over some milk. I asked one of my friends that having a really, really, really hard time, if they could tell me why they don't go to church. And I asked them, did they know what benevolence was? I said yes. So they decided to look it up and give it to me. So I had them write it all down for me, okay? And I'm going to read that. It's pretty much going to close up what I got to say. Benevolence, generosity, great-heartedness, unselfishness. How can we will Christians? We have to be willing to find those who are teetering and tottering, but still looking for the light. You have to understand sometimes that looking for the light means that you're in the dark. Sometimes we don't know we're in the dark, you know? And then there are times when people see nothing but darkness because they have nobody to give them that kind word. They may hear it here and there, but they're lost in a lot of ways. And sometimes there's no light switch for them. You are the light switches. I need you to know that. You've been my light switch for a whole year. Some of you have been a dimmer. You know, turn it down, Teresa. Brother Gary, that was my dimmer. You sent me to Brother Gary when you went out of town. Boy, I was hot and mad. I had so many issues. He said, Teresa, I just think you're just leaning on a church a little too hard. And I said, okay, you're right. You're right. And it was mainly due because I refused to give up my dog. I rescued my puppy from a 50, well, helped someone. He was in a 50-gallon barrel of water in a burlap bag with the rest of the puppies. It took me almost 6 months before he let me give him a bath. I had to fight him for 6 months. But he ended up being my best friend. His name is Bandit, and I named him that because after 2 weeks of being in my house, he stole everything I had. My keys, my shoes, everything. I knew where to find him. But he's my best friend. When I came home from chemo, and I couldn't take my hat, my coat, my shoes, couldn't do anything but sit down. He laid his head on my lap, and that's where he stayed. Amen. Still does that now. And he knows now that I'm sick. I can't take him for walks like I used to. Can't do a lot of things. But there have been times that it's only been me and him. And I would cry because of what was going on. He'd try to lick my face, but he'd lay his head on my lap. I had nobody else. I couldn't call my kids and tell them what was going on because they were going through things. There was so much going on in my life that I didn't tell anybody. Even when I found out that I was sick, I still didn't tell certain people. There's a lot that I still didn't know. There's a lot that I still don't know, but it's not meant for me to know. The benevolence of this is heart and soul. I give you my heart, my soul, my just well wishes. God bless you. Live every day to the best of your ability. I'm 55. My birthday is January 30th. I'm about to be 56. Know that you don't know what your last moment is. And I don't mean passing away. Your speech could go away. Your hearing could go away. Your sight could go away. There are many last moments. Somebody can get up and move away and you never see him again. And you have no idea why. Your children can get up and walk away from you. And you have no idea why. Every day, live your life to the fullest. Tell people that you love them. Ask them, do they need anything? Doesn't mean you got to come out of your pocket. It's not about financials all the time. And then, you know, one of the things that I noticed about this church, excuse me, this house, you all are so well connected. You're so connected to the college that I got a degree just sitting in here. I feel like I have many cousins, aunts, uncles, sisters, grandkids, nieces, nephews. I'm going to borrow your blanket before I leave. This person says, just because a person accepts Christ does not mean all the problems pass away. A Christian community is one that has the empathy to see one of their own faltering. And being moved to help. Benevolence is an action, not a description. If benevolence is just verbal, it's nothing chaff of the wind. He says, be intelligent with benevolence. Reach out to those reaching in. They're reaching in your direction. I was really shocked to find out that when I was going through my housing situation, and for those of y'all that don't know, I was in a housing program, Washington County Emergency Rent Assistance Program. And they ran out of funds in March. My property manager died in February, and she was supposed to do my recertification. Well, I didn't know I needed to be recertified. Anyway, her son came and he cleaned out her apartment. When he cleaned out her apartment, he took everything in it, which was all the file cabinets of everybody's lease information, whatever, whatever, whatever. Even though I have a file cabinet of my own, I still didn't know. So they came around to put notices on my door. There were five of us. I'm trying to figure out what in the world. My rent's paid every month. What's going on? And at the time, I was taking my money, cleaning up my credit. I was so proud of myself. Okay? When I found out that I was being evicted, I didn't know what to do. I don't know Arkansas laws. You know, pretty much you guys have no renter's rights. So I was about to lose my mind. And I came to God with it. And I ran into the brother. And the other brother. And the other brother. And they directed me. Some things aren't meant to work out the way you want them to. And I kept trying to find a house, an apartment. And of course, a lot of you know that I'm a felon. Oh, by the way, I'm on probation. They kicked me off because of my illness. Isn't that nice? But I kept looking and I kept looking and I kept looking. And I couldn't find one. Holly says, find something. I'll put my name on a lease for you. Still couldn't find anything. And I couldn't understand it. It wasn't meant for me to find it. Why? I don't know. God does everything for a reason. Everything. Every step you take is guided by God. Good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't do anything bad. The choices that we make in this life, the decisions that you make, dictate the consequences thereof, not just for you, but for everybody else around you as well. And we don't, I know, I can't see anybody in this house who offers ill will to anybody. I can't. But sometimes not saying something makes people, no, not makes people, because you can't make people do anything. Sometimes not saying anything, not offering that kind word, not offering help, not offering unconditional love can help someone seeking Christ to turn away from a family that is rightfully theirs. You can't tell me that I don't belong to y'all and y'all don't belong to me. You can't tell me that. I'm going to miss y'all so much. I almost wasn't here today. My son, oldest son, who works for the, he's Army retired, bought me a plane ticket. And I was supposed to have left yesterday. Well, guess why I didn't leave again? My dog. I can't get him shipped to save my life. I just don't. And I can't leave him. So I had to go to God and ask forgiveness before I did what I did. I got on the phone because I had an economy-based ticket. Non-refundable, non-changeable. United Airlines. It was bought through Priceline. Thank you. And they told me, I called United. They told me no. I got to call Priceline. So I called Priceline and they say, nope, non-refundable, non-changeable. I said, you listen to me. You're going to change my ticket. I said, we can't. You know, you have to call United and get them to give you a waiver. And I said, what kind of waiver? Well, just call them and tell them you need a waiver, and then it just calls back. You hold on, I'm putting you on three-way. And we all going to talk together, because I can't tell them what you want and then call you back, because I'm going to get somebody else. I hate, and hate is not a good word for me, but I hate to have to explain myself 35 times to 35 people and get a different answer each time, which is what I got. I got a no, then I got a maybe, then I got a not possible, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm in this to win it. So on the day of judgment, I'm standing before you. I'm standing on it right now. I'm just going to atone for it. Whatever you're going to do to me, you're going to do. So I took my bag off, and I called these people on the phone. And I said, listen to me. I had an operation the other day, and my intestines are hanging out of my stomach. Now, unless you want me to get on that plane and you be liable, I had both of them on the phone, and you be liable, then you go ahead and tell me that you're not going to change my ticket. But I need to get my behind up right now and go to this hospital or go see this doctor. Now, I can't do that and be on your flight at 3 o'clock. I need to go get this done. Now, what are you saying? There was a little bit more to it than that, but what happened was the nice gentleman on the phone named Aziz reminded the young lady, she kept saying, you have to call Priceline. And I'm saying, Priceline is on the phone, honey. I told you that 3 times. Can I speak to your supervisor? No, my supervisor says. So he says, hold it. Can you be quiet for a minute? I was like, yeah. So he says, ma'am, United? She says, yes. He says, this is Aziz, and I'm from Priceline. All I need you to do is send me a waiver code. That's what I need you to do. Tell your supervisor that Priceline is on the phone and we need a waiver code to waive her. So she says, no, my supervisor. He says, ma'am, this is Priceline. She finally got the supervisor, and the supervisor got on the phone along with her, and we got it covered. So they gave me an open ticket to go back. So y'all help me find somebody to ship this dog. Okay. But anyway, there are things that aren't supposed to happen at the time that you want them to happen. There are learned lessons in this life that we walk through every day. Sometimes we don't see it. It's really hard sometimes. But for those that we see and it don't look right, grab them by the hand. Maybe it's their vision that's cloudy, not yours. And they just need a helping hand. They need you to, what do you need? How you doing? I got a banana pudding today. It's my favorite. It's priceless. Each and every one of you are priceless. The benevolence. I'm asking this family to get together and come up with a benevolence fund to help people who come to this church who aren't born into this church or born into this family. I'm not asking you to give them everything they ask for, but sometimes a nudge. You never know, they might not need much. I had a friend a year ago that committed suicide because she couldn't get help for her kids. And the only way her mother would take her kids, her mother said this to her, "The only way I'm taking them kids is if you're on your deathbed." She had some mental health issues, but she just couldn't make it happen. She had no skills. She had very little education. Wasn't really looking to further her education, but it's hard to find a job. She took 32 Percocets. She was dead before her head hit the pillow. And her kids were there. She had went to one of the churches as well and asked them for help. And they told her that they couldn't help her. They only helped the people within their church. She had been to many of them. Genesis, that's where I met her. But sometimes they can only offer so much. Again, I'm not asking you to give greatly. But when they come, don't push them away. You want to draw them nearer to Christ. And if they're walking in your direction, it's a great walk. Amen. To walk in this church and walk down this aisle every Sunday and to see your faces. I love to see the beautiful girls in their dresses and their shoes. I love to hear the beautiful women talk about the babies, the programs. I love to hear the brothers talk about what they're going to do. The choir singing. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you. And I want you to know that I love you. Humility. Unconditional love. Kind word. A hot meal. A Twix bar. Pat on the shoulder, a rub of the back, washing of the feet. I love you. I'm going to miss you. And I'll be back. That pretty much sums it up. I don't know what my time is. When God comes, I say, come on, baby, let's go. I try to send you all a note. Okay? Somebody in here is going to know. Okay? Somebody's going to know. They're going to get that feeling. Holly calls me and says, are you okay? I just had a feeling you needed me. That's my mama. She will always be my mama. Am I scared? No. Am I tired? Even after having the surgery, I still can't eat. Every morning I wake up, I say, thank you, God.
Amen.
No, excuse me. Every morning that I'm still up, I say, thank you, God. And I also ask him to take this cup from me. I've been strong for so long that I'm tired. I'm so tired. And now I gotta go home and face kids. I have two boys there. The one that I have here, he's me. He's a big teddy bear. You ever go by Tobacco Outlet on school, that's my child, Jamel. He doesn't want me to go. But I can't take care of myself here. Wendy has to move on. She has a daughter, daughters, and a life that she needs mending. Please take care of her. Please help her. And I'm going to say it. Because of where she is right now in life, financially, with her husband, she's not going to make it. Because she's reaching for so many different ways to take care of her autistic daughter. And they're not bad ways. It's just me knowing they're not going to help. She needs teaching. Somebody teach her. Each one teach one. It takes a village. Holly, please, please keep track of Holly. She will walk a mile without a camel. Just to go to work, come home, go shopping. The two sisters in the back, your sister back there with you? I see them at Highlands Oncology. Please. I mean, I know y'all will. The day that I had surgery, the day before surgery, actually, Brother Pat, Brother Brian was right there. Amen. And Brother Gary. I have never felt so loved in all my life. I have four sisters, one brother.
I've never felt so loved in all my life. The day of surgery, they were all up in the recovery room. And I wasn't even recovered yet. I didn't even have surgery. Hannah was there with the babies. I love y'all. Renita, thank you for picking me up every week. You didn't have to, and I thank you. I'm going to miss y'all. I just can't keep saying it enough. Because I love you. I do. I appreciate you. I adore you. And know that if I never see you again, you're always in my heart and soul. You're always in my prayers. You're always in my thoughts. And again, I remember each and every face. Don't think I don't. I might have to say, you know Wendy, baby girl. What's her name? God bless you. Each one teach one. Do something. Help somebody to know how much you love Christ. A lot of people don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't have a family like this. My church didn't teach me this. I had to go talk to my pastor to talk to God. And I didn't learn the difference until I went to prison. Thank you. I'm done. Come on, get this.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.